All right, so let's dive into something that's been bugging a lot of people.
Yeah.
Windows 11.
Okay.
We've got a ton of feedback. And honestly, some of it's a little heated.
I bet.
Yeah, and I get it.
Yeah.
There are some things that are just like, what were they thinking?
For sure.
But we're not here to just rant. We actually found this really cool opinion piece
Cool.
from someone who's clearly passionate about, like, users' rights
Right.
in this whole tech world.
Absolutely.
So we're gonna kind of use that as our guide
Cool.
to see, what are the real issues,
Yeah.
why they're happening, and most importantly, what can W do about it?
That's what I like, the action items.
Right, not just complaining, but like, okay, now I'm empowered.
Exactly.
So one of the big ones right off the bat that
Yeah.
just sets people off is this whole telemetry
Oh,
thing.
yeah, the data collection.
It's creepy. Like, my computer's calling home telling Microsoft what I'm doing.
I know, and it's understandable to feel that way, right?
Totally.
But here's the thing. Telemetry itself, at its core, isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Okay.
It's just, it's just data. It's information about how the device is working, what features are being used. And that data, it could be used for a lot of good stuff.
Okay.
Like, for example, finding bugs,
Right.
seeing which features are popular.
Okay, so they know what to improve.
Exactly.
Okay.
They can make the experience better for everyone,
Right.
but also, and this is big, for security.
Oh, yeah.
They can see patterns
Okay.
in how the device is being used,
Okay.
and they can help them identify, like, malware.
Like viruses and stuff.
Exactly. Or vulnerabilities.
Right, so they can patch it before it becomes a problem.
Exactly. So there are legitimate reasons for it, but
But the privacy part is still
the
icky.
privacy part is huge,
Yeah.
and that's where, you have to kind of weigh those things.
Okay, so if I'm creeped out, what can I actually do about it?
Okay, so the good news is in Windows 11, you actually have a decent amount of control
Oh, really?
over your telemetry settings. You can turn off the optional diagnostic data, which includes things like, browsing history, app
Which is
usage.
a really personal stuff.
Exactly. Now it is kind of buried in the settings,
So
but we'll walk you through it step by step. Don't worry.
cool. I like that. So at least it's possible.
It's possible, yeah. You
Yeah.
have the power.
All right. Good to know. Now, on to something that just drives me nuts. Bloatware.
Oh, bloatware.
Yeah.
The digital junk drawer.
It is. It's like I buy a new computer, I'm excited,
Right.
and it's full of garbage I don't want.
Why is this even here?
Games I'll never play, apps I'll never use.
Yeah.
It's like they're using my hard drive to advertise other people's stuff.
And there's a reason for it.
Oh, yeah.
Spill it.
It's all about those deals, those sweet, sweet deals.
Between Microsoft and who?
And other companies. So you get like the free trial of antivirus that you never wanted.
Makes sense, but still annoying.
Right. Sometimes it's just Microsoft pushing their own stuff. Yeah. Like, we think this is helpful, so you're gonna have it.
Exactly. It's the default, whether you like it or not.
So how do I get rid of it?
Okay, so the basic way is just uninstalling each app
One by one. Whew.
through the apps and features section.
I know where that is, but that takes forever.
It can. If you want a faster route, there's a tool called Windows Toolbox.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Now, it's not free. It's like 10 bucks.
$10 to clean up their mess?
It's the make it go away button.
But with a price tag.
Yeah,
See,
exactly.
that's kind of what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
They create the problem and then they sell you the solution.
It's a business model, I guess.
Well, it's a choice, at least. I can decide if my time is worth the $10.
Right, exactly.
Me.
You get to decide.
Okay, speaking of annoying things Microsoft does,
Oh, yeah, what else we got?
those feature updates.
Oh, the update.
One day a feature's there, the next it's gone. Poof.
I know, and it's like, where did it go?
Right. And then trying to find something online.
And the instructions are all for a different version. So.
Yes. Or it's like, oh, that feature's only on this edition of Windows 11.
It's a mess.
Like, make up your mind, Microsoft.
I hear you. It is super frustrating. But there is a reason behind those frequent updates, even though it doesn't always feel like it.
I'm sure they have a reason.
Security, that's a big one. They're constantly patching holes,
Yeah. Okay. Gotta keep us safe from the hackers.
Exactly. And also, they're competing.
With Apple and Google and everyone else?
Yeah. They have to show that they're innovating.
So new features, new looks, gotta keep up with the Joneses.
Exactly. It's like a fashion show.
Right. But for the users, it's like, wait, I just learned how to do this.
And now it's gone.
Yeah, or my computer doesn't even have that feature.
Yeah, feel that.
So it's a trade-off, I guess.
It is a trade-off, but you do have some control over how those updates roll out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can like delay them.
Okay.
Or get notifications before they install.
So I'm not just suddenly surprised one morning.
Exactly. You can be prepared.
Okay, so I can choose a little bit of stability over being on the absolute bleeding edge.
Exactly. It's your choice.
All right, that's good. Now, another thing that feels really pushy.
What's that?
This whole Microsoft account thing.
Oh, yeah. Big account.
Like, I just want to use my computer.
You just want to get in.
Why do I have to sign in with this whole account thing?
It feels very, very pushy.
It does. It's like I'm being forced to join their club.
Like, you have to sign up for the Score loyalty program to buy milk.
Exactly. Like, no, I just want the milk.
Just give me the milk.
But they've made it so hard to just set up a local account.
You really have.
Like, it's hidden. It's multiple clicks deep.
Yeah, it's like they don't want you to find it.
Right. And I get it. They want everyone in their ecosystem.
They want all the data. They want you using their services.
Yeah, but it should be a choice.
It should absolutely be a choice.
Not a requirement.
And thankfully, you could still choose a local account.
Okay. Right.
You just have to, you know, jump through a few hoops.
Like a little digital obstacle course?
Yeah, but it is possible.
So again, we'll give you the steps to find it.
Absolutely. We'll guide you through it.
Because it's ridiculous that it's so hidden.
It is.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that way.
Okay. And speaking of Microsoft steering us towards their stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about Edge?
The browser?
It's like they're constantly trying to make me use
it. And they're very persistent.
Widgets pop up. I get search prompts.
And they're begging you.
Yeah. It's like, please, just try Edge. We promise it's good now.
It's a little much.
It is. Like, let me use what I want.
I agree. And, you know, it's not just about the browser itself.
It's about what?
It's about data.
Oh.
Browser choice is linked to data collection.
Because that's how they track what we're doing online.
Exactly. Every time you use a browser, you're generating data.
About my habits, what I'm interested in.
What you click on, how long you stay on a page.
And that's valuable to them.
Oh, yeah, it's gold.
So it's not just about giving us a good browsing experience.
It's about market share and controlling a piece of that data pie.
But what if I don't want to be part of their pie?
Then you fight back.
Okay, how?
You remember Windows Toolbox.
The $10 fix-it tool.
That's the one. It can help you manage default apps.
Oh, so I can make Chrome or Firefox my default?
Exactly. But even without the tool,
there's a way.
You can do it through the window settings.
So I have options.
You always have options. It might just take a little digging.
All right, so I can choose my level of effort.
Exactly. You're in control.
I like that. Okay, now another thing that's been controversial.
What's that?
Those hardware requirements for Windows 11.
Oh, yeah. The requirement.
Like, I get it. Operating systems need to evolve.
I got to keep up with the technology.
Right, but some of these requirements seem kind of arbitrary.
Like, why can't my perfectly good computer run this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like they're trying to force people to upgrade.
Even if their current machine is fine.
Yeah, which is wasteful.
Totally. Environmentally and financially.
It's like they're saying, this computer's too old, even though it works fine.
Time to buy a new one.
And that just feels wrong.
It does feel a bit like planned obsolescence.
It does. So what's the deal? What are they really trying to do?
Well, from Microsoft's side.
Okay.
They say it's about security and performance.
Okay, I've heard that.
They want to guarantee a certain level, right?
Consistent experience, fewer vulnerabilities.
Exactly. But critics argue it's unnecessary, these restrictions.
Right, and it creates this barrier.
Yeah, for people with older hardware.
Which could be totally capable of running Windows 11.
Exactly. So there's this tension, right?
Between Microsoft wanting control and standardization.
And users wanting flexibility and choice.
Right, and not to mention, you know, the e-waste issue.
Huge issue. Pushing people to upgrade prematurely.
It's not sustainable.
Not at all.
So what can we do? If I have a computer that can run it, but Microsoft says no.
Well, we don't endorse going around the rules.
Right.
There are tools out there that let you do just that.
Like what?
One's called Rufus.
Rufus, okay.
It's a pretty powerful piece of software.
Yes, it do.
You can create bootable USB drives.
Okay.
And it can bypass some of those Windows 11 restrictions.
During installation.
Exactly. But, big caveat.
Oh, there's always a catch.
Using tools like Rufus can be risky.
How so?
You could void your warranty.
Oh, that's not good.
Or run into stability issues.
So it might not even work, right?
Exactly. It's a gamble.
So it's a choice.
It is. A choice with potential consequences.
High risk, high reward.
Yeah. But at least you know the risks going in.
All right. Good to know. Now, speaking of feeling like you're constantly fighting for control.
What's next on the list of grievances?
Let's talk about OneDrive.
Oh, OneDrive. The gift that keeps on giving.
Or the pest that keeps on pestering.
That's probably more accurate.
It's like no matter how many times I opt out,
It finds its way back.
it comes back. Like, I'm telling you, I don't want it.
Nope, not interested.
But it's still there, lurking in my file explorer.
Trying to sync my stuff.
Yeah, and I've heard people call it OneDrive harassment.
It's a real thing. That constant feeling of being pushed into a service you don't want.
And it goes back to what we were saying before.
About Microsoft wanting everyone in their ecosystem.
Exactly. They want all our files in their cloud.
So they can collect that sweet, sweet data.
It's like that salesperson who keeps pushing the extended warranty.
Are you sure you don't want this?
No. I said no the first three times.
But wait, there's more.
Exactly. So is there any escape from this OneDrive persistence?
There is hope. You can disable it effectively.
Really?
You just have to understand how it's integrated.
Okay.
And disable it at each level.
So it's not just one setting I have to change.
It's a multi-pronged approach.
Ugh, but at least it's possible.
It is. We'll give you the sips.
Because I know people are tearing their hair out over this.
It's a common complaint.
Okay, good. So we'll give them the weapons they need to fight back.
The power is in your hands.
All right. I like that. Now, while we're on the topic of Microsoft's ecosystem and its sometimes overbearing integration, can we talk about Office?
Oh, Office, the behemoth.
I mean, it's powerful. I use it all the time.
It's the industry standard.
But the way it's intertwined with Windows 11 and OneDrive.
Oh, yeah, that can be a problem.
It can be very disruptive to my workflow.
Especially that default save location.
Oh, yes. It always wants to save to OneDrive.
Like, hey, put it in the cloud.
I'm like, no, I want it on my computer.
It's constantly nudging you towards their cloud.
Even if I prefer to work locally.
Even if you have your reasons.
It's like, I'm trying to write this report.
Okay.
And someone keeps interrupting me to offer coffee.
Even though you've already said you want tea. Well,
exactly. Like, I appreciate the offer, but I'm good.
Just let me work.
Right. So this integration with OneDrive, it might be convenient for some.
For some, yeah. If you're all in on the Microsoft ecosystem.
But for others, it's just another source of frustration.
A constant battle.
So what can we do? Can we change that default save location?
Absolutely, you can. There are ways to reclaim that control.
Okay, good.
We'll show you how.
Excellent. And I know some people have even gone so far as to ditch Office altogether.
Oh, yeah. Gone for alternatives.
Yep. And there's this one that I've heard of but haven't really looked into.
Which one is that?
LibreOffice.
Ah, LibreOffice. The open source champion.
Tell me more about it.
So it's a full Office suite.
Okay.
Word processing, spreadsheets, presentations, all that.
Like the core stuff you need.
Yeah. And it's totally free.
Free. That's a good start.
Completely free. It's open source.
So developed by the community, not a big corporation.
Exactly. And it's compatible with all the standard file formats.
So I can still open my Word docs and Excel sheets.
No problem. Now, it might not have all the bells and whistles of the latest Microsoft Office.
I mean, as long as it has the core functions.
It does. And it's surprisingly powerful.
Hmm. Interesting.
Most users would be perfectly happy with it.
So a viable alternative for those who are, you know.
Fed up.
Yeah, fed up with Microsoft's control issues.
Who want something that's truly theirs.
And free, can't beat that.
Be free.
So it seems like with Windows 11, there's a lot of good.
There is, a lot of potential.
But it comes with this baggage.
Yeah, these annoyances.
The data collection, the bloatware, the constant push towards their services.
The feeling of fighting against the operating system.
Exactly. Like, I just want it to work for me, not the other way around.
And that's what it comes down to, informed action.
Right, so that's why we're doing this deep dive.
To empower you, give you the knowledge.
So you can tweak the settings, disable the stuff you don't want.
Find alternatives.
And create an experience that actually works for you.
Because you have choices.
Right. It shouldn't feel like we're trapped.
You're not trapped. You're in control.
That's a good feeling.
It is. It's empowering.
It is.
To take back that control.
Yeah.
And to know that you don't have to just accept the defaults.
That you can shape your digital world.
Exactly.
All right. I like that. It's a good place to
pause for a moment.
Yeah. Catch our breath.
Gather our thoughts.
And we'll be back with more Windows 11 annoyances.
And more solutions.
And more ways to reclaim that control.
Stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
It's like buying a car, but the radio's locked.
And they're like, oh, you gotta buy the premium floor mats to unlock the radio.
It's ridiculous. It's like, I already bought the car.
Right. So what's their justification for this?
Well, Microsoft says it's about security and performance.
Okay. I've heard that before.
They want to ensure a consistent experience for everyone.
Yeah, fewer vulnerabilities.
Exactly. But critics say, come on, these restrictions are often totally unnecessary.
And it just creates this barrier.
Yeah, for people with older hardware.
That could be totally capable of running Windows 11.
Right. It's like, My computer's fine. It can handle it.
So it's this tension,
right? Time between Microsoft wanting control.
Standardization.
And users wanting flexibility.
Choice.
And let's not forget the e-waste.
Oh, huge issue.
Pushing people to upgrade before they need to.
It's not sustainable.
Not at all.
So what can we do if I have a computer that can run it, but Microsoft says no?
Well, we don't condone breaking the rules, B-U-T.
But there are ways.
There are tools out there.
Like what? Give me the good stuff.
One's called Rufus.
Rufus, okay. What's that do?
It lets you create bootable USB drives.
Okay.
And you can use it to bypass some of those restrictions.
During installation.
Exactly. But, big warning here.
I knew there had to be a catch.
Using Rufus can be risky.
How risky are we talking?
You could void your warranty.
Oof, that's not good.
And you could run into stability issues.
So it might not even work, right?
Exactly. It's a gamble.
So it's a choice.
A choice with consequences.
High risk, high reward.
Something like that. But at least you know the risks.
Informed decision. I like it. Now, let's move on to something that really feels like a constant battle.
Oh, boy. What's got you riled up now?
OneDrive. It's like no matter how many times I say no.
It keeps coming back.
It's like a boomerang. I opt out. I unlink. I do everything I can.
And it's still there.
Lurking in my file explorer, trying to sync my stuff.
Like a digital stalker?
Seriously. I've heard it called OneDrive harassment.
Oh, yeah. That's a common term for it.
Because it is. It's this constant pressure to use their service.
And again, it goes back to what we were saying before.
About Microsoft wanting to control everything.
They want your data in their cloud.
So they can analyze it, use it for who knows what.
It's all about control.
It's like that salesperson who just won't take no for an answer.
Pushing the extended warranty even though you've said no 5 times already?
Exactly. It's like, dude, I'm good. Let me live my life.
But wait, there's more. You need this.
It's exhausting. So is there any way to escape this OneDrive persistence?
Don't worry. There is hope.
Tell me there's a way to shut it off for good.
You can disable it.
Really?
But here's the thing.
There's always a...
You have to understand how it's integrated and disable it at each level.
So it's not just one setting.
It's multi-pronged. We'll walk you through the steps.
Thank goodness, because I know people are pulling their hair out over this.
It's a major pain point.
Okay, so we'll give them the ammunition to fight back.
The knowledge is power.
I like that. All right, let's shift gears a little.
Okay, what's next?
Let's talk about Office.
The Office suite we all love to hate.
It's powerful. I can't deny that.
It's the industry standard for a reason.
Right. But the way it's connected to Windows 11 and OneDrive.
Oh, yeah. That can get messy.
It messes up my workflow sometimes.
Especially that default save location.
Ugh. Don't even get me started. It always wants to save to OneDrive.
Cloud first, they say.
And I'm like, no, I want it on my computer.
Local storage for the win.
Exactly. I have my reasons.
Valid reasons.
But Office is like, nope, cloud it is.
You got to keep those files synced.
It's like I'm trying to focus on writing this important document.
You're in the zone.
And someone keeps interrupting me to offer a snack.
Even though you just ate lunch.
Exactly. It's like, dude, I appreciate it, but I'm good. Let me work.
Just let me concentrate.
Right. So this integration with OneDrive, it might work for some people.
But they're all in on the Microsoft world.
But for others, it's just another annoyance.
Come to battle the fight.
So can we change that default save location?
Absolutely you can. We'll show you how.
Good, because that's a big one.
A major frustration for a lot of users.
I've even heard of people ditching Office completely.
Really? Going rogue?
Yep. There's this alternative I've heard about, but never really looked into.
What's that?
LibreOffice.
Ah, LibreOffice. The open source hero.
Tell me more.
It's a full Office suite.
Like all of the basics.
Word processing, spreadsheets, presentations, the whole shebang.
Okay, and what's the catch?
No catch. It's completely free.
Free. Okay, you have my attention.
It's open source, developed by the community.
Not some big corporation trying to control everything.
Exactly. And it's compatible with all the standard file formats.
So I can still open my Word docs and Excel files?
No problem. Now, it might not have all the fancy features of the latest Microsoft Office.
As long as it has the core functions.
It does. It's surprisingly powerful.
Sounds promising.
Most users would be perfectly happy with it.
So a real alternative for those who want to break free.
Escape the Microsoft clutches.
And it's free.
Can't beat free.
All right, so it seems like with Windows 11, there's good and bad.
There's always two sides to the coin.
We have all this great new technology.
But it comes with these strings attached.
The data collection, the bloatware, the constant push towards their services.
It's like they don't trust us to make our own choices.
Exactly. And that's what it comes down to, right?
Informed action.
taking control.
Knowing your options.
So we're not just passively accepting whatever they throw at us.
You have the power to shape your experience.
And that's what this deep dive is all about.
Giving you the knowledge, the tools.
So you can tweak the settings, disable what you don't want, find alternatives.
And create a digital world that truly works for you.
Because we shouldn't feel trapped.
No way.
We have choices.
You're in the driver's seat.
That's a good feeling.
It is. Empowering.
It is. All right, I think we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
Maybe we should take a little break.
Catch our breath.
And then we'll come back and wrap things up.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back.
It's about taking back that control and making sure technology works for us, not the other way around.
I love that. It's about being proactive, not just reactive.
Exactly. And this whole push and pull between users and tech companies, it's not going away.
You think it's going to get worse?
Honestly, yeah. As tech gets more integrated into our lives, companies are going to keep pushing their ecosystems, their services, their way of doing things.
So it's like a constant battle to stay in control.
It can feel that way. But the key is to stay informed, stay curious.
About how it all works.
Exactly. The more you understand the motivations behind those design choices, the data collection practices, the ways they try to steer your behavior, the better equipped you'll be to make conscious decisions.
So it's not just about clicking agree to the terms and conditions without reading them.
Definitely not. Take the time to understand what you're agreeing to, explore the settings, see what options you have. Don't be afraid to experiment and tweak things until it feels right for you.
So it's about being an active participant in your digital life, not just a passive consumer.
That's the key. And remember, you're not alone in this. There's a huge community of users out there sharing their knowledge, their tips, their workarounds, their frustrations.
And that's where you come in, dear listener. We want to hear from you. What are your biggest Windows 11 pet peeves? What tricks have you discovered? Share your thoughts in the comments below.
Because collective knowledge is power, especially in the tech world. The more we share, the better equipped we'll all be to navigate these complexities and make informed choices.
Exactly. This whole deep dive was inspired by your feedback.
Your experiences, your struggles.
And the conversation continues. So keep sharing, keep exploring, keep pushing back.
And keep taking control of your digital world.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into reclaiming your Windows 11 experience.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time, stay curious, stay empowered, and keep those comments coming.